Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy or relaxing Saturday, whichever the case may be. I really appreciate you taking the time to come to these calls. I did these calls for years, I think, years, every week. And I just finally got tired and decided I was going to take the summer off. And, well, a year later, here I am. And anyway, it's, you know, I've kind of lost touch with a lot of people. I kind of missed having the Saturday calls. So I'm thinking about bringing those back in some form or fashion, maybe not every Saturday, but, you know, there's a lot of people that have a lot of questions and, you know, get things clarified, and I really appreciate being able to help people, and that's one of the things that is in common with my co-host today, Leo Clark. He is one that loves to help people and has done so and is still doing so. And same with another associate, Wilbert Fonseca. You'll know more about, you'll learn more about him pretty soon. But, you know, he's, you know, we've all been working really hard at real estate and real estate investing, and we've been able to push through some of these very, very challenging issues that come up, and it's not like it's the same issue every time. But we've been able to push through, and we've got deals going, and you know, they just, I am very delighted to be around people who are very anxious to give back, like Leo and Wilbert Fonseca, who you'll hear about a little bit later, too. But just to get things started off, I want to say hi to Leo. Leo, how are you doing today?
Excellent, Jean. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for having us get together on a Saturday afternoon.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. It's made me realize I really, really, really need to do something here on these calls because, you know, even though I'm really active in my Facebook group and people ask questions and talk about their real estate issues, you know, sometimes it's not enough unless there is a real voice and a real back and forth communication. So I'm thinking about getting something going here on a more regular basis. So Leo is a buddy from San Diego, and he has come across some, I mean, and Leo, I'll let you fill in a little bit more, but he has done his share of coming across some challenges and having to step back and do a strategy thinking and say, okay, what can I do to change now that the market's changed? And he's turned into a new builder. He builds new builds. Right,
yes.
Leo?
Yes, yeah, local small developer.
Yes, and, you know, when I saw Leo doing that, I was thinking, gosh, you know, Austin's sort of turning around some, and you know, I could see Austin as a potential location for new builds. And as I studied it, the information I got was that it was easier to do new builds than rehabs, and I believe it. And it's easier to get, well, it's easier to get money. It's easier to, you know, actually go through the process of the project. And of course, you make more money on each sale.
Yes, you do.
I mean, Leo, when I first did a field trip with Leo in San Diego, because I chose San Diego because so many people were frustrated. I can't get a deal in San Diego. I can't get a deal. And here's Leo. He's flipping them right and left. And, you know, that caught my attention. And so I asked Leo if he'd mind, you know, helping me put together a field trip in San Diego, and he was very, very helpful and you know, freely gave his system and his way of doing things. And at the time, you know, even though we were talking about San Diego, at the time I was doing deals in Bakersfield, and Leo said to me, he says, Gene, you know, you and I are doing the same amount of work. You're making $15,000, and I'm making $50,000. And so that caught my attention right there, too. And so now he's found a way to turn it into $150,000 for each deal he does. So it's like, yeah, dang it.
Six-figure deal.
Six-figure deals. I love those six-figure deals. But, you know, you don't get to where he is by, you know, just following the rules. You know, you get there by, you know, really strategizing and thinking outside the box, and you know, gathering team members that are going to work well together. And so, Leo, why don't you tell us about how you got to where you are today, and then we can jump in and start talking about money.
Sure. Well, as most everybody on this call probably went through someone's event out there, you know, some major guru that's teaching, you know, rehabbing or flipping homes, and learned the whole process of that, you know, go through that educational curve, because I was coming out of the corporate world of almost 30 years, so really needed to go through a learning curve way back in 2010, actually 2009, going into 2010. And so once I began to learn the whole, or I guess somewhat of the wholesaling, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do the rehabbing, so went right into it and started rehabbing homes. And we did quite a few projects, and I knew coming into it, just by what I was doing in my previous life, my work life, I was very good at forecasting. I knew that rehabbing wasn't going to last a long time. I knew, you know, a few years out, you had to have another strategy or something to have your business be sustainable as well as scalable. And so I knew going into it that I was going to be building new homes sooner or later. I just didn't know it would be that fast. And so literally 2.5-3 years into rehabbing homes, started focusing on learning how to develop and buy land and, you know, go through that whole process from doing one to doing multiples. And so now we've got 12 projects. We just locked up 2 more this week, and we are going forward. Our core of our business is building new homes and raising the capital to do that, as well as finding the profitable projects to keep us a sustainable, profitable business. Because a lot of people I hear out there, whether it's the short spreads or the small profits or whatever, they're kind of on that fence of, what am I going to do with my business? I'm here doing whatever I'm doing, but yet I'm not able to see it long term down the road to be, you know, these kind of numbers being produced. So yeah, you really got to look at your business and where you want it to be 1 year down the road, 3 years down the road, and 5 years down the road. And you got to develop a plan around that. And you got to have a plan. If you don't develop the plan behind that, the saying is either plan to fail or fail to plan. I mean, which one are you doing, you know? And so one of the things I knew coming into this, I had to plan. And so I planned on becoming a home builder, and I got educated and started hanging around different circles. And I began to learn development, true development. And then before you know it, we started developing an educational class behind it and started doing more projects and started gaining a following, and now that's all I do. Every single day, it's all I do.
That's great. Yeah, so if somebody brought you a rehab, you'd see if it was, you would just see if it was scrapable or not, and then if it's not, then you just say, pass it on to the next one?
Right. There's multiple ways to approach a project now. I mean, I don't look at a house or any kind of project from one exit strategy or one standpoint or one, you know, investment strategy. So you can literally, once you learn how to add value to a home, truly what you do, I was in a RIA meeting this past week, and there was a gentleman there selling one of his properties, and I was like, well, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to sell at a market that's appreciating, and we have nowhere reached our peak yet, and you are in one of the hottest zip codes that is projected to be growing for the next 2, 2.5, 3 years. Why would you want to sell today? Well, it's a 900-square-foot, 2-bedroom, 1-bath, and you know, I says, well, why not add another bedroom, another bath, add square footage, bring it up to 1,500, 1,600 square feet, rent it out, get 2 or 3 renters in there paying you $1,400 a month, raise the cash flow, and then sell it 3 years later for a much higher price. Instead of $550, what he was selling it for, 2 years from now on a 3-bedroom, 2-bath on this house, it'd be at $800,000.
Wow.
So why would you sell today if that's what the numbers are telling you what's going to happen? So he kept it. He sold that to sell.
Okay. All right, so he's keeping it. And is he going to add on to it? Or?
Yes, he sure is.
Yeah. Good. Good for him. Yeah, definitely. There's, I'm always just like Leo, always thinking about what's going to happen next. And you know, whereas he's turned to home building, I'm still sort of holding on to my rehabbing remotely and looking at different locations. I mean, there's still foreclosures out there. They're not in Austin, Texas at all. You know, you go to the courthouse steps, there might be 10 where there used to be 700 back in the day. So that's what I'm doing. And, yeah, I'm not afraid of condos, even though all the gurus say stay away from condos. They've been, they've had their challenges, but if their numbers work. But, I'm still planning. This isn't going to last forever, and there's going to have to be some change in my business model. And I've researched the notes. I don't know exactly what my direction is going to be.
Hey, Jean? Hey, Jean?
Yeah.
Something happened to your mic.
Hello? Can you hear me?
There we go.
All right, thank you. Yeah, so, right now I know there's going to be a change, and I don't know really, what it's going to be yet, what it's going to look like. I'm looking into, more cash-flowing strategies for the future. But I don't have an answer yet. Certainly new building's an opportunity that's here. But I think it's really important from a business perspective, just like you said, Leo, to think about and look at what's going on in the market, what's going on in the world, how is that going to affect the real estate business? What's the mindset of the young adults these days? Are they buying? You always have to sort of take all that in so that you can forecast or, look ahead of what is going to be the need in the market in the next year, in the next 2 years, in the next 3 years, and be able to take the talents that you have and apply them to a market pain or a need or a demand. And I think that's one of the things that people going into this, because they, like me, got sold into, a real estate investing platform as a way to sort of, get rich and build wealth and all of that stuff. I guess I was a little bit fortunate that I also worked for corporate, but I also had other businesses that I've run myself. And so I've got an entrepreneurial insight. And I don't know if everybody really does. And I think that might frustrate them a little bit. I don't know, but it really is important to know that if you're in real estate, you are an entrepreneur. And it's just that real estate is your focus.
It's your vehicle.
So, that's just your industry that you're in right now. I always am thinking of different ways to make money. Of course, I've got to focus on what works. But, I just posted I've got a bird feeder, and the squirrels eat all my bird feed. And I finally came up with a little recipe to put on top of a styrofoam cup to keep the squirrels away. And then I said, wow, I can just put a label on that and package that and get my kids started a little squirrel deterrent business going. And, I'm always kind of thinking like that. But it's, again, it's always being aware of what is the market pain and moving forward.
Right. And one of the things, because when we were having lunch that one day in Austin, Texas, we were sitting down with another investor local there in Austin who came out of the corporate world. And for us that have done that corporate world, however many years it was, there's just certain things that we take for granted because it's been ingrained in us. And we don't realize that others don't understand the dynamics or even the structure behind building a business. So there's a lot of things to always be looking at from a standpoint of what do I want to achieve today and how do I want to do what I'm doing today and make that profitable and then get to where I want to be a year from now and 3 years and five. Because one thing I see all the time, people just don't know how to do a business plan, and they just don't know how to put it down on paper and see and envision where they're going to be. And there's a lot of things that go along with that. And so, at our three-day event, we're going to help a lot of investors get into that mindset, get into that vision, know where you need to start. Where do I go and do a business plan? How do I do a business plan? Who do I put in the plan? Just on and on and on. And so one of the things we were talking about at that lunchtime that we take for granted is, as simple as a business license. How many entrepreneurs out there or even simple business owners don't have a business license? And it's the things that we take for granted because we just have been immersed in it and realize, that's the way of the world today, but we don't know that other people don't know that.
Yeah, it's really important that you operate under the protection of some kind of a business, you know, a corporation, LLC, some kind of an entity. You know, otherwise it's a hobby. And
right.
If you're doing real estate for a hobby, well, you know, there's nothing really wrong with that. It's just, it's not something you want to, you know, you don't want to depend on it. Because if you depend on your real estate income, then it is a business. And you need to
right.
treat it as such.
You absolutely do need to treat it like a business.
No, but I really like that you brought that up, Leo, because the event coming up in July where we talk about the business plan, you know, you think about it, you say, okay, well, how do I write a business plan? Well, the business plan is just an end. It's putting down on a – yeah, actually, you don't need a whole lot of paper, but just putting down what you're doing. Yeah, what you're doing, what's the market need, where are the opportunities, how are you going to get this final thing accomplished with resources, with funding, with your talents, with the supplies that are available. And, you know, so a business plan can be as little as one sheet of paper, but the work that goes into strategizing and thinking about it and, you know, putting it, you know, getting your arms around it, you know, from you know, an intellectual way to put it down on a piece of paper, you know, it can be a challenge. But once you can do that, then you've got a direction that you can take that is ingrained in you, and you can move forward with that as your business. So,
the funding is part of the business. Everything that you do in your day, in your week, in your month is what should be in the plan. And the funding is the one key aspect. You know, I spend 80% of my time talking about money. And a lot of people just put that as something aside over here. I'll do it when I need it. And that's wrong.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, and another thing, just with a mindset, you know, once you get into real estate, you know, everything's for sale. You know, if somebody likes my ring, you know, sure, it's for sale. So, you know, you just, funding can come from many different sources. And this is what we hear about as people's biggest concern is getting the funding. And, you know, Leo's right. You don't want to wait until you absolutely need it. And, of course, you know, the big question is, you know, which comes first? Do you line up the funding? Do you get the deal? You know, blah, 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 blah. And we're going to cover that in entirety in July. If you want to know more about the event, you can go to GeneNorton.com/bigprofit or just go to GeneNorton.com. There's a menu item for next event. And that's going to be July 17th, 18th, and 19th in Austin. And Austin's a beautiful place, and we've got a really nice location. So we are really looking forward to it. And I think right now the price is $597 for all 3 days.
Yes. We're going to talk about a couple things at the end of this call that will, you know, help the listeners today save some money on this event.
All right. Well, that sounds good. So anyway, yeah, finding the money. I know that I've had some discussions with different banks about lines of credit and getting money. And, you know, one of the things that we discussed in my weekly meeting that I go to every Thursday was the different banks have constantly changing scenarios or priorities. For example, I go to a bank, Business Bank of Texas, thinking that I was going to go with a small bank that would be easy to deal with. And at the time when I first started, they talked to me about a business line of credit. I was just getting started in real estate, and I really didn't have I couldn't give them the comfort level that they needed because my business partner and I were splitting up, and I needed to pay her money, and he was looking into, you know, possibly giving me a line of credit. Didn't work out at the time, but later I went back and I said, okay, I'm ready. You know, it's been 2 years later. Let's talk about that business line of credit again. And he says, well, you know, that's what you do with real estate. We just have to treat it as a mortgage. And the other people in my weekly group, you know, one lady said, that was Business Bank of Texas? She said she was looking for a mortgage, and they said, no, all they do is business lines of credit. And so whatever, you know, you have to know when you're dealing with banks is that their corporate goals may change from quarter to quarter on what they're trying to do and the kind of money that they're trying to lend. So, you know, this is one of those important things that if you do go to a bank and you do talk about getting a business line of credit, no doesn't always mean no. It just means that's not that particular bank's priority, or it's not the right bank, or it's not the right time. So, Leo, tell me about your experiences talking to banks.
Well, there's been several. When I first started going, and everybody has to start somewhere, so I started going to some of the major banks. It wasn't working. So then I started looking at the community banks, and that's where you really got to focus. You got to focus on the community bank, and a community bank could even be a credit union. So you go into that community bank, and you start asking the right questions in order to get the right answers you're after. One of the things is what you want to say is SBA loans, Small Business Administrative. They have ways to help banks put out loans. The SBA does a lot of loans today with community banks for small businesses, and there is where you can go and get the line of credit. So once you're dealing with the right person who does the small business loans or does the lines of credit, then you can start finding out what's the criteria you're going to need to have in order to apply.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, you've mentioned that before about the SBA and, you know, using that route, and especially going in saying, I am looking for a small business loan. It sort of initially sets their mindset to, oh, here's a business person.
Right.
And what happens is when you mention real estate, then they put you in a whole different category that you know, they don't want to touch for some silly reason.
Right, right. You don't want to walk in talking about real estate. You want to talk about your business.
Exactly.
A lot of banks are going to require certain things from you, which is okay, but you got to get the ball rolling because you're going to need this. And this is something, if you're going to build your business, if you're planning 1 year down the road, 3 years, 5 years down the road, well, if 5 years from now I want to have $500,000 available to me for my community banks, then I need to start putting things in place today. So you got to look at it from a standpoint of where is my business going to be this time next year and what will I have to have access to?
Exactly. And don't be afraid of talking, you know, when you talk to the people, I know, you know, a lot of people get really nervous about approaching a bank or approaching really anybody asking for money. I know I do. And, you know, don't, you know, you have to realize that the person that's on the front line, the loan officer, the person that's interfacing with you on your business loan, et cetera, they are measured by closing high-quality loans. And they, you know, if they like you and you like them, you know, start a conversation with them. Say, what will it take to get this through your underwriting team? And I've heard of other people that will just say, you know, I am taking, you know, this is like business 101. I am taking a raw material, I'm enhancing it, making it pretty, and selling it for retail. So that's what I'm doing. That sounds like business to me. And they can, if they get it, they will work with you. They will be on your side to try to get you the kind of funds that you need. But
one of the things that I think is lacking in any education out there, and that's why we've implemented it in ours, is what does that business person, business owner, real estate investor, however you want to be labeled, what does that person truly say? So when you're talking, and you mentioned it, Gene, when you're talking to somebody, is it clicking in your mind, I should be raising money with this person, I should be talking about money with this person, I should be telling this person truly what I do? Because it's going to happen. You're going to have a conversation somewhere. It could be at a RIA meeting, could be at a party. And people are going to ask you, what do you do? They always
right.
do. And one of the things I've always made it real easy and show people, it's really easy to say these small little words. I make people money. Four small words. And that will provoke thought, and it will provoke curiosity. You make money, really, how? Through real estate investing. Because everybody's always on that fence. I want to talk about money, but I don't want to offend anybody. I want to, you know, tell them what I do, but I don't want to be overbearing. Well, you're going to get the question. And as long as you got the card right there handy and someone says, you know, what do? You just say, I make people money. Through, you know,
that's
and
awesome.
They will ask. They will ask the question, how? They always do. Through
awesome.
Real estate investing. So that's like a real easy way to break the ice for people that are truly out there, you know, afraid to bring up the money topic. Because it's always not really a taboo per se, but people don't like talking about finances or financing or loans or anything like that. And before you know it, that kind of thought process puts you in the fear of not talking about the topic of money. But if you say those four little words, you will provoke a conversation and you'll talk about money.
I think that's brilliant because, you know, when people are communicating and they want to get to know you a little bit better, really with any interface, the person that you're talking to is saying, okay, what's in this for me? And if you can say right in the beginning, I make people money, they've already got their answer. I know what's in it for me, and that's
yep.
going to start that conversation.
Because it always happens.
So,
you're going to get asked everywhere you go, what do you do? Even if you're at the grocery store and you're having a conversation with the clerk, and oh, yeah, what do? I make people money. And I guarantee
I'm going to start doing that.
They will stop in their sentences and in their motions, and their ears will perk up, and they'll go, really, how? You're real estate investing. So, yeah, that's something that we show in the event to kind of do some role-playing and help people, you know, put it in place so that it's just natural. It just comes natural. You know, yes, you're a real estate investor. Yes, you're a business owner. Yes, you're an entrepreneur. Yes, you are in the industry of real estate. But what is the true essence of what you do? The true essence of what you do is you're making people money, whether it's yourself, whether it's private lenders, whether it's a hard money lender, whether it's a bank, you're making people money.
That's true. I've gotten to the point where I go to my UPS store to overnight something, and I'll just say, okay, this is a personal guarantee that I'm borrowing $25,000 and I'm going to return $30,000 in 6 months.
Right,
you know,
exactly. Right.
Yeah. And he's just like, oh, you know, and then once they see it enough times, they start getting more comfortable with you. And it was funny. I never really told him what I did. I just sent a bunch of documents until one of my private investors actually came in, and he was saying that he was investing with this lady named Jean Norton. He said, oh, I know Jean Norton. And so, you know, I just kicked myself on all of the opportunities that I didn't say. I make people money.
I know. People don't.
Did
and
my
if,
job.
If you think about it, if you think it in this simplicity, yes, you're wholesaling maybe, you're rehabbing maybe, you're, you know, subject to lease options, but what is the very end piece to all that? The end piece is a check or a wire transfer, one of the two. So in that check or in that wire transfer is money, of course. Well, part of it may be yours, maybe all of it is yours, or part of it's somebody else's, which that's the majority of it. 99% it's you and somebody else's money. So you're just splitting that check up or you're splitting up that wire transfer, you know, to the agreement that you put in place, you know, 5 months prior. So the end in mind is where I always start with, even when I'm designing a home, it's the end in mind. The end in mind is that check. And I want to split this check up. So I want to give you Mr. Lender or Mr. Private Lender or Mrs. Private Lender, I want to give you a portion of this check. So what I'm doing, I'm making you money. So I make people money.
That's true. That's awesome. So I want to remind everybody that a star 6 will get you in the Q&A queue. And I welcome any questions, personal experiences, you know, anything that comes to mind, just the star six. So Leo, I'm trying to think about the first lender that I got. And it was actually a referral. And it was a lady that said, he said, no, you shouldn't invest your money with me because I'm too close to you, but I've got I know these ladies that are doing real estate. And it was so funny. The first, we went ahead and did our agreements, and they paid me the money, and I bought a property sight unseen, which is a whole other story. And we found I had local feet on the ground there to check things out for me. Got a local contractor, got it finished within hardly any time at all, and then sold it within 24 hours, and this man got his money back. And, it was just so wonderful to see that happen. And I just love making money for my investors.
Yes, we all, the ones that truly focus on it and enjoy doing it are the ones that are continuously growing their business. I love making money for anybody that is involved with one of our projects. I mean, I truly love seeing, like one of my private lenders last year, he got to take his wife on a 30-day vacation because I made him over six figures last year.
Oh, my goodness.
He got to go to Egypt. He got to go to Israel. He got to take this 30-day vacation just off of the money I made him last year. And he was very happy for that. So not only am I making somebody money, and that's what I do, but I'm also helping them create something or achieve something that they probably never would have. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that one last year. It was pretty cool to watch that happen.
That sounds awesome. I've got a similar story with my private lender. He's lending out of his IRA and just sort of, he's been studying the real estate business and decided to come in as a cash investor, but looked hard and long for the people he wanted to invest in. And somebody, it was not a deal with me, but he ended up with a $4,000 check because he loaned somebody money and put it down in front of his wife just as she had just finished making arrangements for their Alaska cruise vacation. So it was like for them, that just said, oh, real estate investing. Oh, okay. Well, this looks more interesting every day.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's several listeners probably on the phone thinking, well, that's not who I am. I can't do that. Trust me, you can. You can say those four little words very easily. Even if you haven't had any success with a private lender today, you can still say those words because you're associated around people that are doing it every day. And you can make people money. No doubt about it.
Absolutely. And this is the other thing that I have found when I was doing field trips a lot more often than I am now. But, once people are part of an event like this coming up, then you're part of a team. And
right.
So when you say, I'm an investor, or I don't know how to say, well, I've never made money before, you don't answer, we teach you how to answer those kinds of questions. And, tell you that, say, yes, I'm an investor. I work with several other people. And if they've got a question that you can't answer, you've got a whole team that you got to know real well at this event to back you up and to help you with those answers. I don't know. Go ahead.
And you can't start too soon because I see people right now today on Facebook advertising or looking for gap funding. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why are you looking for gap funding on Facebook? I mean, it's probably right in your backyard, and you don't even know it. You really have to, broaden your spectrum, your paradigm shift, if you will. There are people around you that are waiting for you to speak up. They are waiting for you to help them. So it is in your duty to help them. You have the knowledge. You have the contacts. You have the ability. It is in your duty to help them, and they are looking for you.
I know it's hard to do, to think about doing, but, you know, you do, but I don't remember it, but if you do something enough times, it actually turns into a habit, and
yep.
you get very comfortable with it. And I don't know what, I'm sure there's some psychological analysis on that, but if you say it enough times, it will become part of who you are.
Yep, sure does.
Yeah.
And I see it every day, even at the RIA meetings, I'm looking for money. Well, you got to stop looking. You just got to start asking, you know, because when you say the words looking, and this drives me nuts. When people say, yeah, out looking at properties, okay, well, your mind is clicking to those words, and that's all you're doing is looking. You're not buying, so you're not in that buying mode. Your mind is not in that buying mode. You're out buying properties if that's what you want to be doing. You're out networking. You're out collaborating with people to make them money. The whole essence behind the word looking or getting ready to or working on, those kind of words, it's not clicking in your mind a completion piece. So the piece that you're trying to complete is the acquisition of a private lender. You know, therefore, you must act on it and you must ask.
Yes, you've got to ask. And you've got to, when you do it, you have to present what the opportunity is. And,
yes.
I remember seeing these, you know, oh, I need this amount of money or I'm going to lose this deal. Well, you know, you've got to remember that who you're talking to always want to know what's in it for them. It's always, what's in it for me? And if they,
yes.
you know, it, I don't care if you lose that deal. Now, I care if I can make 50% on my money.
Right.
That one will catch my interest. But, you know, there's a whole mindset about, you know, what you're doing. And, you know, sometimes you get to a point where you pick and choose who you want to invest in your project.
Right. Who you will work with.
Sure,
who you'll collaborate with.
What was that, Leo?
Who you will collaborate with. You pick and choose.
You do. So, now, I do have a question that came in via email from somebody that is not in the U.S. And, Leo, I don't have a whole lot of experience with this, and I don't know if you do or not, but he's not in the U.S. He's got properties, I believe, in Chicago. And so he's wondering, how do you solicit or get even lines of credit from foreign nationals where they don't have a Social Security number or credit history? You know, is it possible to get any kind of credit lines, loans, et cetera? Have you had any experience for people who are outside of the country but buying properties to rehab and resell?
Yes, Canada. Yeah, I investors from Canada.
Okay,
you got to start talking in international terms because there's an international tax that gets applied to that individual who's not in the U.S. So you got to understand, in every country is a little different, so you got to understand what that international tax is going to look like, number one. Number two, you got to deal with international banking. You hear it, you know, from Wall Street, you know, international banking. There are international banks that will invest in, and usually it's a minimum. Usually it's like, you know, $2 or $3 million is the minimum they'll do. So you really got to look at it from an international standpoint. And you got to know what your international tax base is going to be, and then you also have to know who those banks are that will deal with you and work with you for an international bank loan.
I know I touched on international banking because I got my graduate degree in technology commercialization, and you know, you commercialize technologies, you manufacture it in China, and you get the money from Israel, there's all kinds of rules, especially there's all kinds of rules when it comes to international money transfer. And I know it gets complicated, but I know in Miami there are actual international banks that are physically located in
yes.
the U.S.
So, yes.
So for whatever complications there may be, it's a lot easier, especially for people who have those banks. I do know hard money lenders will lend to foreign nationals as well.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about a conventional bank, but
It's just a little more stringent, a little tougher. It's just something that if this individual is going to want to, you know, invest in real estate and, you know, be actively moving properties, you know, quite a bit in the U.S., you're going to get on the radar of whatever bank that's going to be, and they'll probably start out pretty low with you, and then you will go and grow with them. And but it's the whole thing behind our Wall Street crash was a lot of international stuff was happening that truly created certain things to happen. And, you know, when you start talking about all these subprime loans and, you know, all these massive portfolios of, you know, homes that were truly becoming upside down at the time, well, they were held by a lot of different entities out there and corporations and hedge funds and on that aren't U.S., you know, based. So they changed a lot of the rules and a lot of the laws behind investing. And so now, yeah, there's certain guidelines and steps you have to go through in order to do it.
Yeah, one of the things I was thinking of was maybe developing an LLC in the U.S. with a U.S. partner. And I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud right now because I came across a contact that will actually refinance to your LLC and not go through the mortgage process to lend money, and they'll refinance 80% on your deal once you've got a rehab. So if you want to buy and hold, that's not a bad way to go. And, you know, but they'll do it at an LLC. So how does a foreign national create an LLC? I suspect they have to have a U.S. partner in order to do that.
Yes, they will.
Yeah, so I'm, you know, so, you know, this is just one of those things that the way you think when you are into real estate investing and when you think as a business is, okay, well, here are the rules and, you know, well, what other things, what other strategies or steps can I take that will get me to where I want to be and, you know, and collaborate with other people? I mean, that's just kind of what Leo and I were just now doing. It's like, well, maybe we can do an LLC.
Well, there's another way. There's a whole other way to it. And there's going to be a presentation at the three-day event. Belinda Savage will be showing everybody in the room how anybody worldwide could invest in U.S. real estate without having to go through that whole process. So the presentation that Belinda will be doing will open up some eyes on how if you had somebody close to you, Canada, Cuba, wherever, how they could put their money into real estate funding without going through those massive processes. So that's another reason to come to the event is to get educated on how to truly take people's money that are out of the country and invest and want to invest in the U.S. How can I do that legally?
Right. I am so looking forward to that part of the event. I mean,
she's out of Wall Street for 30 years, so she was, you know, a true Wall Street and one of the first female, you know, true success stories out of Wall Street. And she knows her stuff. And she has been in my back pocket for almost 5 years now. I work with her quite a bit. Anything I need to know regarding a law, a rule, or a SEC issue or whatever, she's my first phone call. So, yes, that's another reason you want to come to this event is to learn these kind of things that they're going to come up. They always do. And you need to know how to go about, instead of saying, well, I don't know, and walking away from it or, you know, passing it on to somebody else, how can I get a contact or get knowledge on how to go handle this challenge?
Yes. Yes, that's awesome. I'm really looking forward to that part of it. Only because I actually was helping a friend who was trying to pull down a rather expensive deal, and the gap funding was coming out of Singapore, and at the last minute, the Singapore bank or the IRS or whatever the IRS equivalent is froze this guy's bank account, and on the day of closing, she couldn't close because the funds were held in Singapore. And, you know, those kinds of things come up. You know, when you talk international money, you get into, you know, all kinds of discussions.
Yeah, you get into challenges. So that's another reason to come to this event, because you will get a basic blueprint, if you will, the first steps of, you know, what you need to know.
Yeah, yeah. So the website is GeneNorton.com/bigprofits, And I encourage you to sign up. I would love to have you guys there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we've got, Wilbert. I mean, talk about his story. He's the main host of the event. Wilbert and Leo, it's their show. It's not my show. It's their show. I'm just hosting it, being the local representative. But what a story with this guy. It seems like everything he touches turns to gold. Go ahead.
He started not speaking English 8 years ago.
I mean, you got to have a certain kind of something in your brain to be able to do that. I don't know how many times I've driven around, how many hours and hours I've been trying to learn Spanish, and I still can barely get it. And he comes in a total immersion and learns English, going from Spanish to English, 8 years ago. That's just unbelievable. But, his story is, he's a smart guy. There's no doubt about that. I think he went to law school in Havana, Cuba, and, moved to the U.S. and, just culture shock. I mean, just things like credit cards. They didn't have credit cards in Cuba. There's, just a whole new way of being. And I don't remember how many houses he's got now, but he's, halfway towards his goal of, some outrageous number of houses. And he's done it by developing relationships with a lot of people, a lot of the right people, and his story is just incredible.
Yeah, and he'll be telling everyone about it and doing a presentation on certain things involving your inner peace, what you are, whatever you have going on inside you, how to go about getting out of that in order to function and operate your business. Because we all have a lot of things going on in our lives, but sometimes we just can't drop that baggage at the curbside when we leave and, come back to it when we come home. So there's a lot of things that will truly challenge you or me or any of us in our day, week, or month. And you just got to be able to get through those challenges. You got to know how to go through them because they're not going to go away. And they're always going to be, and that's one of the things that I've always talked and taught. You got to learn how to deal with them, overcome them, because once you start doing that, everything will become a little easier to do.
Yeah, yes, it will. I know I've got a perfect example of I had challenged myself about a year and a half ago because every time I got a deal, the money showed up. I said, okay, I'm not going to slow down. I'm not going to, identify the money first. I'm just going to go ahead and get as many deals as I can. And I did. And so I found myself with, there's the one little thing I didn't do, and that was a cash flow analysis and cash flow forecast. And so I caught myself in this position of owing people money at the same time, and I got stretched way too thin. And, then I sat back and said, well, wait a minute, there's all these people that have come to me and said, Gene, I've got about $30,000 in my IRA, or I've got $25,000 here, and none of that was really enough to do a deal with. So I really said, okay, yeah, well, I'll think about you for my, one of the deals that come up, but then it just dawned on me. I could call these people up and it was really kind of, it was a stretch for me. Because I just said, I remember you said that you had some money that you wanted to put to work for you, and I'm in a position that I could actually put that money to work. And, they hang up the phone and say, oh, wow, good, I get to work with Gene Norton. And that was the last thing I would expect them to say. But they were delighted to hear from me, and I was able to solve my cash crisis problem. So, there's all kinds of things that happen in this business.
Sure are.
Yep, and I hung up the phone, and I was with a young lady that had taken a couple of real estate classes, and she was a realtor also. And I said, wow, that was easy. So I made another phone call and did it again. And it's like when you get backed in the corner, you have to do something, you've got to step outside of your comfort zone, and once you do it, it just becomes easier and easier, So.
It will.
Anyway.
It absolutely will.
Are there any questions? You can press a *6 to get in the Q&A queue. And I, you know, I have to admit, I've been having internet problems lately, so, and I'm watching online. And so if somebody's pressed to star six, then I don't see it. It's probably because of my internet problems. But anyway, if there's any question, star six. In the meantime, Leo, do you have anything else you want to talk
about?
Well,
I think one of the things that everybody is going to deal with, there's many one of the things, but a major one, is going to be, you know, how to analyze the deal or how to know if it's profitable. How do I know that my numbers are true? How do I know that at the end of this project, the profit that I'm stating to this private lender is going to be that amount? And in our three-day event, we'll be going over topics like that on wherever you are, wherever market you're in. You're going to be able to look at whatever that is that's coming at you and analyze it from a standpoint of where you want to be profitable. Because in my world, profit is an expense. If you look at profit as an expense, then structuring the deal becomes a whole different dynamic. Because one thing that I've always taught, and I still do today, teach it and say it, the first person that gets paid is pay yourself. So if you're paying yourself, if you're paying anybody, what is that? That is an expense. So I look at profit as an expense. So what do I want to be paid in a deal? And that's one thing that we'll show everybody who attends, how to look at it from a standpoint of how to pay yourself first, and then everything falls down below it. And then you derive with the number that you should be offering at. So that kind of strategy is something that very few talk about, because everybody's always talking about ARV and certain, you know, loan-to-value percentages and on and on and on. Well, that's all good. That's great to know that. But when you're at the end of the game and you're, you know, selling that project or that property off, what is the profit supposed to be, you know, and what are you supposed to be making? Well, if you're doing this for $5,000, $10,000, whatever that is, and you said in the very beginning to the private lenders, you know, yeah, we're going to be profiting $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. Well, you better be able to show it. And so that's what we will work on at the event as well, how to know the proper profit to attach to every project.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I know a man in Chicago. He does major rehabs in Chicago. He won't do a deal unless he can make at least $300,000. And I think, you know, I mean, I go through and, you know, if it's only $5,000, $10,000, even if it's, you know, I have even gotten stuck with skinny deals. And, you know, people have said, you know, gee, this is not your normal stellar deal that you usually get. Are you sure you want to do this? And it's true. Sometimes you know, you have to pass on a deal that you might make $10,000 on just so you can get the deal that you'll make $50,000 on.
But you better be locked in with all your numbers. If it's $10,000 profit, you better be locked in on every number and know those numbers to be true.
Yes.
Because you don't have
a whole lot of everything, but
yeah, you don't have a whole lot of room, wiggle room, if something goes sideways and you're spending more money than what you budgeted.
Yeah. Well, we do have a question, so hold on. Is it Timothy Carlson?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, yeah, I was just wondering, you mentioned that you knew or had a company that you could do refinances through for an LLC.
Yes, I'm seeing this. Actually, I'm seeing this happen in a lot more banks, that you go to their commercial department and they will actually lend on your property. You know, a landlord loan is kind of what I would call it, but it's to your through your LLC, and it doesn't go through the standard mortgage process. And we're going to see a lot more of that coming up. And I think it has something to do with the Dodd-Frank law or something. You know, I'm hoping that Belinda will be able to share more of that information. But not all of the banks have caught on that. In fact, somebody was telling me that they that they're doing this with BB&T, which is mainly in the Southeast, and they have one here in Texas. I called the lender here in Texas, and they never called me back, so I'm talking to a lady in Florida and talking to her about setting up that kind of arrangement. And I know somebody that's doing it, buying distressed houses, fixing it up to rent, and then cashing out at the 80% value. So I'm really delighted to see those kinds of loans coming back.
Right. So it is.
So there's not a specific company that you were talking about. It's just some banks in general that are moving.
I'm seeing. Yeah. Actually, I've got a loan coming up to refinance out of some of my slow sellers. I'm just going to hold them for another year or two. And they're giving it to me at 2.8%. And they just look at my credit score. They'll look at the value of the property. They'll look at the rental comps. They don't even need to be seasoned. And I'm seeing more companies advertise those kinds of loans. I've seen another one post, I think it was 2.75 points and, 9%. So I'm seeing those kinds. Now, the bank that I know about is BB&T, and her rates, the lady I talked to, the rates started at about 6%, and that's where they loan to your LLC. So it depends on your credit score, and, I'm sure it depends on everything. You'd probably walk out of there with an 8% loan, but, 8% is better than 12 or 15. And, we can't get, for whatever reason, I can't get the, 4 to 5%. So that's, I'm happy to see that happening. It's about darn time. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh,
thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Okay, if there's any other questions, a star 6 will get you in the Q&A queue. But we've been on the phone about an hour, so I hope you guys will consider coming to this event in July. I would love to see everybody. I've always enjoyed events like this and meeting people and getting to know people and just being part of a team, helping everybody out. So
right, and we have set up on the Eventbrite page where it is not $5.97, it's $4.97, but only for 7 days, because everybody that's on this call will have access to receive $100 off, basically.
Awesome. So it's only $4.97, and which is just an incredible price. There's not going to be, there's no big upsells. There's no guru follow-on training. I don't know about any, but nobody's really making any money on this either.
Nope.
I'm not making any. Leah's not making any. And that kind of price point that barely covers the cost of the meeting room. So, just come on. We're just all good people. Wilbert, he's the one that says he just wants to give back. He just feels very blessed that things have worked out so well for him. And I'm just delighted to meet people like that, and very common with Leo. I'm looking forward to it, and I really hope you guys can make it. So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing as many people as possible. I mean, we're opening it up to anybody right now. It is limited to 40, because that's as many as the room can hold, but we have plenty of room for anybody that's looking to come on board. We're about, 45, 50 days out, so I know airfares are still, affordable, can still set everything up. So as we get closer, though, we won't be doing the discounted pricing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really important when you hold events. We need to know how many people are going to be there so that we can make plans, make sure that we've got the right number of rooms. So I'm trying to get sponsors to maybe, put the bill for a dinner for us. And it's so important to us to know how many people are going to be there that we offer the discount just to have the best feel as possible as to how many people are going to be there. But once we get beyond a certain point, we just have to go with the regular price and going forward with that. So that's why we offer the discounts on events. And I certainly, you know, if anybody's got any questions, you can usually catch me on Facebook, or I've got my own, you know, Facebook group. If you don't know about it, just search for Gene Norton's Real Estate Contacts. And so there's a lot of good stuff there. If anybody's got any questions, any concerns about coming to Austin in July, I will tell you it will be hot, most likely be sunny, and that's about all I can tell you. I mean, not really, you know, it'll be hot and sunny. So if you want to get a chance to get your pores all cleaned out and sweated out, this is the time to come. But,
yeah,
okay, last chance for any questions. The star 6 will get you in the Q&A queue, but I don't see any. So, Leo, thank you so much for being on the call. And everybody, everybody that's been on the call, this call took an interesting twist and turn about business, and I really enjoyed it. So, okay, everybody. All right, we'll talk to you guys soon. I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.